Carol, I said, sharply enough to make her tug her gaze from Michael, who now stood in the doorway, holy sword in hand. Carol, I need you to give me a hand here. She blinked and then nodded jerkily and rose. She helped me drag the wounded man over to where the others were seated against the wall. How did you know my name? She stammered. Are you two angels? I sighed and tapped a fingernail on the name tag she wore. I'm sure as hell not, I said. I jerked my head at Michael. Though he's about as close to one as you're ever likely to see. Don't be ridiculous, Harry, Michael said. I'm just a... He broke off and ducked. Something solid whizzed past him and slammed a hole the size of my head into the drywall above us. Bits of dust rained down, and frightened people cried out. Michael slammed the door shut, but without, you know, all those pesky metal security fittings, it swung open again. He slammed it closed and leaned one shoulder against it, panting. Something struck the door with a heavy thump. Then there was silence. I ripped open the wounded man's pant leg along the seam. The knife had hit him in the calf, and he was a bloody mess, but it could have been worse. Leave it in, I told Carol, and make sure he stays still. That's close to some big veins, and I don't want to open them trying to take it out. Stay close to him and keep him from trying to take it out, okay? Yes, all right, Carol said. She blinked her eyes at me several times. I don't understand what's happening. Me either, I responded. I rose and went to stand beside Michael. Those things are quite a bit stronger than I am, he said in a low rumble that the people behind us couldn't hear. If they rush this door, I won't be able to hold it shut. I'm not sure they will, I said. But you're here. I don't think they're after me, I said. If they were, they wouldn't be going after everyone else too. Michael frowned at me. But you said they were fairies. They are, I said. But I don't think this was supposed to be a hit. There are too many of them for that. This is a full-blown assault. Michael grimaced. Then there are people in danger. They need our help. And they're gonna get it, I said. Listen, Hobbs can't stand light, any kind of light. It burns them and it can kill them. That's why they called up this murk before they came in. Murk? It's matter from the Never Never. Think of it as a cellophane filter, only instead of being around a light, it is spread all through the air. That's why we couldn't see the light from my amulet, and why the muzzle flash of my gun was so muted. And that's how we're going to take them out. We get rid of the murk, Michael said, nodding. Exactly, I said. I raked my fingers back through my hair and started fumbling through my pockets to see what I had on me. Not much. I keep a small collection of handy wizarding gear in the voluminous pockets of my duster. But the pockets of my winter coat contain nothing but a stick of chalk, two ketchup packets from Burger King, and a furry, lint-coated Tic Tac. Okay, I said, let me think a minute. Something slammed into the other side of the door and shoved Michael's work boots a good 18 inches across the floor. A claw flashed through the opening at me. I got out of the way, but the sleeve of my coat didn't. The Hobbs claws ripped three neat slits in the fabric. Michael lifted Amorakius in one hand and drove its blazing length through the sturdy door. The hob screamed and pulled away. Michael slammed the door shut again and jerked the weapon clear. Dark blood sizzled on the holy blade. I don't mean to rush you, he said calmly, but I don't think we have a minute.